Let me introduce Joe Grimm. This is the second time that Joe has been a speaker in our Brombag series. Joe has been in the newspaper business for a long, long time. Now is with our School of Journalism here at Michigan State University. And Joe's earlier work was on maritime, specifically on maritime songs and folklore. And then he now has cast his eye on hot dogs. I think it's a natural progression to go from maritime to hot dogs. But you know, who knows what he's working on next, which is the wonderful thing about it. Always to be a wonderful, great writer. I think he's just a fabulous speaker. Without further ado, please help me in welcoming to the first Brown Bag of the Year, Joe Grimm, talking about Coney, Detroit, immigration, work, and hot dogs in the Motor City. And by the way, do sign in, please.
Thank you so much for letting me come back, John, after the last time. Jeez. Yes, we're here. I get to talk about my favorite subject, Coney Island hot dogs. I find that the more I study them, the more I look like one. So I don't know what that's all about. We talked about what to do. This talk has not been given before. Usually when we talk about Coney dogs, the co-author, Catherine Young and I, we talk about other things, but I wanted it to fit into this 17-year-old series. So we talked, John and I, about the work aspects that are tied into the Coney dog story. So we'll have a lot of pictures here, and I like to get questions. I don't always answer them, but I like to get them. I'm going to start by telling you a little bit. I mean, let's just start right at the beginning, and that would have to do with what is a Coney dog. Okay, a Coney dog, and there can't really be much debate about this. A Coney dog starts with a steamed bun. Those buns are baked in a sponge dough method so that they stand up to the steaming. On top of that, we want to have a natural casing hot dog, talking about a Detroit-style Coney. It's a beef and pork hot dog. On top of that, very important, if you're taking notes, get this one down. On top of that, we have a beanless chili, no beans in there. It's an all-meat chili. And then mustard and onions, never any ketchup, no relish. Despite what you saw in It's Only a Paper Moon, no relish on a Detroit-style Coney dog. The onions may be diced by hand or in a machine. The place where people really improvise is in the chili. We write about two distinctive kinds of Coney dogs in Coney, Detroit. I would add a third, having done further research. The Detroit style is a wetter kind of chili sauce than what you'll get in Flint and Jackson, where they call it a meat topping. Anybody like Flint style Coney's? Put up your left hand if you like Flint style. You can keep it up there, and now put up your right hand if you like Detroit style. Okay, you look like you're on a roller coaster. You like both. And at Sparty's Coney Island, you can get both on one plate. So if you want to try the difference, go to Sparty's or go to What Up Dog. They'll do the same thing. Leo's here in East Lansing only does Detroit style. We'll get to Leo's in a minute. The book came about this way. I wanted to do a book that would be quintessentially Detroit. And I thought, what would that be? What would be quintessential Detroit? And I thought about the Tigers and the Red Wings and the Pistons. This was a long time ago. I even thought about the Lions, even though it was in that bad century they had. And I said, geez, everybody does books about those teams all the time. What else says Detroit? And I said, oh, Coney dogs. Coney dogs say Detroit. Nobody has them like we do. So I went to the publisher and I said, I have an idea for a book. This is the world's shortest book proposal. And she said, what's the idea? I said, Coney, Detroit. She said, we'll do it. What's it about? I said, well, I think it's going to be about Coney dogs, and I think it's going to be mostly pictures. I'm going to send a copy around so you can, the talk can get kind of boring, so maybe you'd like to read while I talk, like my students do. So I'll send around a book. You can see what I'm talking about. We wrote about 10,000 words. Catherine Young did most of the writing. We used 12 photographers to do the photography. We had a crazy designer design the book. I did basically nothing except think of the title. That's the way I like to work. The big mystery for me was, why here? Why here? It's not that complicated to make a Coney dog. Why does Detroit have it in ways that no other place in the world has Coney dogs? That's what I wanted to find out. And this is part of the answer. This is outside of the Ford plant in 1914 after Henry Ford announced the $5 work day. I think businesses are trying to go back to the $5 work day. Maybe they'll get there. But at this time, that was actually a raise. Not so much anymore. This $5 workday electrified the world. There were newspaper headlines about this every place. People came here from all over the world. And what happened was a few things simultaneously. One was a huge wave of immigration. Another one was the people working to make cars could start to afford to buy cars. So we had then a mass market for cars, which meant we had to build more cars. And it really built a huge shift in population and in the middle class. 1914, Detroit is getting full of people. By the 1920s, a little bit more about maybe industrial Detroit to help make this labor connection. Here we are in a Coney factory. This is a chili foundry in Dearborn. You see some of those guys working for $5 a day, and they're getting the chili put on top of the dog there. It's the beanless chili, and here they are. They're bringing in a high-low that is putting some diced onions on this really big Coney dog. These are, next time you're at Metro Airport in Detroit or Romulus, take a look around. There's a National Coney Island there that has about six of these up on the wall. These are all done by a guy named Barney Judge. What's happening in Detroit in the teens and then the 20s is there are so many people, mostly men, who've moved to Detroit to work, and it's happening in Flint, it's happening in Pontiac, it's happening any place people are manufacturing. The population exceeded the housing. In Detroit and Flint, they were doing rooms this way. The occupancy was over 100%. Think about that. Okay, occupancy is more than 100%. That meant to get over 100%, they had to rent some of the rooms twice or three times. So if you were working in Detroit and you were unfortunate, you could rent a room, but maybe just for 8 hours a day. So the rest of the time you had to go to work or go hang out someplace. You'd get back for your 8 hours so you could sleep. The bed is still warm. That's hot boxing. So the streets of Detroit were crowded with young men looking for fast, cheap meals. And the area around downtown Detroit, according to city directories from the time, was filled with lunch counters. Some were called Coney Islands. There were a lot of Chinese restaurants downtown. Right now, there are none in the immediate downtown area where you find the most famous Coney Islands, which we'll get to in a minute. This one I wanted to put up. This picture is in the book. It's from a place called Dooley's. Dooley was Dooley Site, S-E-I-T. Dooley opened this Coney Island, the story is, in 1921. It would have been one of the first Coney Islands in Detroit. It looks pretty much this way today. The guy on the stool is no longer there. But the rest of it is pretty much the same. It's a long counter. They haven't really added on. They haven't changed much. They have the Site family no longer owns it. They sold it to an employee whose name is Joe. One interesting thing about this picture, or this place, Dooley's, is that Dooley was Albanian. At the beginning, and for a long time, almost all the Coney places in Detroit were run by Greeks, but one of the oldest was really run by an Albanian. It's still in business. They filmed part of the Rosary Murders in this place. It's a cool place. If you get to Southwest Detroit, I would look for Dooley's. It's at the corner of, I think, Verner and Junction. Tell Joe that Joe sent you. Okay, so Dooley's is opened, we think maybe in 1921, in business to serve all these guys who are working in the factories, have no place to sleep. They want to eat, but they don't want to spend all their money on it. I love Coney's in part because of the lunch counter idea. You go into a good Coney, and you will see a mom with a kid sitting next to a businessman, sitting next to a construction worker, sitting next to a high school kid. You can talk to the people around you, or you can ignore them. But for that moment, you're all in Coney space. You're all equal. You're all eating probably the same thing, sitting on the same kind of stool. And it's a great equalizer, I think. This is a lunch counter in Jackson. That woman in the back is the owner. We'll meet her again later. She looks kind of like she's the boss. One of my favorite places, this is Pete's in Pontiac. They have two counters that are horseshoe-shaped, so it's pretty much impossible to ignore the person at the counter with you because you're looking right at them. This place is much beloved in Pontiac for those horseshoe counters. Okay, here we are. We are at American Coney Island. This guy's name is Jerry Abu El Haswa, and this is how we serve them. The counter's there, and come on in. There's plenty of food here for everyone. When the Caro's family, which started American Coney Island and Lafayette Coney Island and another Coney Island, at one time, who's been to the Coney's downtown? American and Lafayette. At one time, right now, you know, there are two right next to each other. So if you start to go in one door, they might come out the other door and say, no, those are bad, come in here. Ours are better. And at one time, they had three Coney Island restaurants next to each other, all run by one family, the Caro's family. We might expand a business, they just open the next door. And if you run out of buns over here, you just run them over there. And so they ran them like this. The idea when they opened was that every customer would have his change and his lunch within 60 seconds. So they were turning really fast. That's the way you make money. This place, you know it's American. The guide I use, now I hear they've remodeled a little bit. I'm going there after this. There's a Coney eating contest today. I will not be participating, but I will be enjoying vicariously. They switched to a red and white decor, the black and white floor. You can tell that this is Grace Karros's Coney Island because she takes credit cards and she's experimenting with try our new Coney breakfast sandwich. At Lafayette, they wouldn't go for crazy stuff like that. They don't take credit cards and they don't have like Coney breakfast sandwiches, thank you. They don't want to screw with the menu. The other way you can tell through here if a person works at American is by the hats, which are kind of distinctive and different from what they have at Lafayette. Here's the counter, and you see one going together, couple going together. This is a little bit unusual. There's the chili, mustard, onions. The dogs and the buns are in these steam tables here. This is a little bit unusual right here because it looks like the mustard is under the chili. That's not how they usually do it at American. Some other places do it that way, but more about that later. But one of the things we really focused on when we did the book is we got into the story and tried to figure out why here. One of the things we found out is that we didn't have a story about hot dogs, we had a story about families. And so that's really what the book is about. It's about the people who make this happen. And isn't that always the truth? Okay, this guy is kind of famous downtown. You can find pictures of him on YouTube, videos of him doing tricks with matches, with nails, with forks, and especially, he can do way more than that, by the way. He can go all the way up to his shoulder. His name is Faisal Ali. He works at Lafayette next door. And he's wearing, you can see Lafayette on his shirt. A lot of people will eat at American or Lafayette and they won't go to the other one, especially Lafayette people. My brother-in-law is a Lafayette person, hardcore. He says the only way he'll go to American is if somebody else is buying. There are people worse than him who won't go into American at all. Now, we can't do that because we wrote the book, Catherine and I. So when we go to American today, we might go next door and have another one at Lafayette. A lot of times I eat at both places because it's so convenient. And we're trying to be fair about this. We're trying to be fair. And periodically we go in and we say, well, you know, which one do we like today? What's our favorite today? There they are. And you can see the doors. The American door is kind of in the middle there, and the Lafayette door, the one they really use, is over to the right there. So the doors are about 12 feet apart. When all of this started, now, right now, if you go to the end of the building, this is near the corner of Michigan and Lafayette. It comes to a point, sort of the way a Flatiron building would look in, say, New York City. If you go look at the end of the building, American claims it opened up in 1917. And they recently celebrated their 95th anniversary by dropping like 950 hot dogs out of a helicopter. They weren't wrapped, they weren't in buns, and after they were all collected, the winner who collected all of these, collected the most, she got a prize. She said, I forget what she said, it made me think, she is not a true Coney fan. I think she said something like, I don't like mustard. They donated all those dogs to a dog shelter. So the food didn't go to waste, but it was a pretty disgusting event. The way it happened was two brothers, Gus and Bill Karros, opened up where you see the American sign, and they called it Lafayette Coney Island. Okay. According to city directories, they opened up around, I want to check this, 1923, not 1917. They had sort of a parting of ways. Bill moved next door into this next one, and he called that one Lafayette Coney Island. Lafayette Lunch Counter. This became Lafayette Coney Island. And what happened is they later had a name switch, and they expanded both of these stores from this street all the way through to the next street, which is Michigan Avenue, the same one we know. And then American actually expanded into what had been the United Shirt Company all the way up to the point of the building. This second Coney opened in 1936, according to city directory. Now, Grace Karros was not, you'll meet her in a second, let's see. Now is a good time to meet her. She is not really happy that we put in the book what the city directories say, but I think she kind of knows that the city directories are more accurate than the stories. City directories were made by going door to door in the city, seeing what business was there, putting it in what amounted to almost like a phone book. And so we're pretty confident that the city directories were pretty accurate about what was going on. I mean, who knows? We think that's what really happened. This is Grace Karros, who is like in charge of American right now, I would say. This is her cousin Danny. He's also in charge. She is kind of the brains and the business behind what goes on. Danny is sort of like a carnival barker. He won't go out on the sidewalk and pull you in, but that red, white, and blue cap is always there, and he's always chewing the fat with the customers. This is Grace's dad, and he's Chuck. He is the youngest son of Gus. Okay, so Chuck's father was one of the guys who opened up these Coney Islands. That would make Grace and Danny third generation, but cousins. They get along pretty well. When we talked to Danny about this being the 95th anniversary, he said, yeah, whatever, you know, 95th, yeah. If you want to say so. This family, the Karros family, really only runs American Coney Island, and they had Lafayette Coney Island, until the 1980s, or around then, when there was a little disagreement. This family's had some disagreements, like all good families do. The Lafayette Coney Island, which some people say is the traditional place, is actually run by Yemenis, and they own it. It is not in the Karros family. And in fact, it is not run by people who can eat hot dogs. It is run by Muslim Yemenis. I was in there talking to Ali, who's kind of the top spokesman for the Lafayette crew. There's like seven owners. And I said, you know, Danny says that over at his place, every day, he'll take a hot dog, he'll at least skim it through the chili sauce and check it, see if everything is okay. I said, how often do you taste your conies? He said, oh, we never taste them. He said, we can't eat them. We eat the loose burgers, which is a hamburger without the patty. Okay. Last time I was in there, he was eating a salad that he brought in. I said, where'd you get that? So they don't eat the hot dogs next door at Lafayette. It's not run. In fact, here's something that is not in the book. Not in the book. We talked to Ali, and I knew enough. I said, oh, so you can't eat the hot dogs. So you're Muslim, aren't you? He said, yeah. I said, okay, could we have a tour of the place? Which is kind of a silly question because it's one room. And, you know, there's the tour. I said, no, in the basement. Lafayette has some really steep stairs. American doesn't. Lafayette has some really steep stairs that go down to the basement where there's a bathroom. Leave it at that. There's also a piece of wood on hinges, like a piece of plywood on hinges, that he unlocked and took us into. And in there they have like a couple meat grinders, some refrigerator equipment. It's a really low ceiling. And over here to the side, there's a prayer room. And there was a guy in the prayer room in the basement of Lafayette doing his afternoon prayers. We didn't put that in the book. Left out a couple little things. We were a little bit concerned that the Islamophobes might go crazy, and the last thing we want to do is cause Lafayette a big problem. Although recently Grace again being the entrepreneurial one, American has a station at the Detroit Zoo where you can get an American Coney Island hot dog at the Detroit Zoo, and maybe you read there's a new casino opening in Vegas called the D. It's going to have American Coney Island there. It will not be the first Coney Island. It will not even be the first Detroit Coney Island in Las Vegas. More about that in a minute. Who are these guys? Why? This guy with Leo on his shirt? That's Pete. This is Leo. This is Pete and Leo Stassinopoulos. They are Carol's cousins. Most of the big Coney families in Detroit came from a small area in Greece around a town called Dara, D-A-R-A. When he got here, Leo, the big guy, said, they gave me this hot dog, it had mustard on it. I don't like mustard, what is that? And he said, this is how we make money. So they went to work at the downtown Coney Islands, and they went off on their own, and they started with their own shop in 1972, 40 years ago. They now have 42, and they run the biggest Coney Island chain there is. Why are they called Leo's? They agreed Leo's is a better name. So that's Pete and Leo Stassinopoulos, and here's the kitchen crew at the Leo's in East Lansing. I happened to go there to check things out, and they were clowning around. They're going to do a pretty faithful reproduction there because that is family-owned. Leo does franchising, which doesn't always work out well. Sometimes he has to get his business and the name back. They did have a Leo's in Chicago. It didn't make it, and there's a lawsuit going on about that. Now, the people in Chicago say, well, Leo's didn't support us well enough, so that's why it didn't make it. Oh, boy, who are these people? These are Carol's cousins. These are Carol's cousins. Some are uncles and some are brothers, so it's two generations here. I think the thing you need to know is that they run Kirby's. Kirby's stands for Carol's Brothers. Okay, so the Carol's are cousins to Pete and Leo. And they're related to the Kirby's people. These guys have about 23 Coney Islands. So although American and Lafayette didn't branch out, they're closely related to 65 Coney Islands so far. What you need to know about this picture is that the guy on the far left, when we were taking this picture, he said, this is hard to do, because we were telling him, don't take a bite, just hold it. Well, now hold it, we're going to take another picture, hold it. He said, this is hard, I need to bite this. And the other thing you need to know is the guy next to him, Alex, here's what happens. The family comes from Greece without much money, without the language. What do they do to get a job? They go to work in a Coney Island. They hire themselves, and they work hard. These places, a lot of them are open 24 hours a day. They don't need a lock on the door. They don't close. Who's working there? The family's working there, or somebody who just came in to town and needs a job. So they would hire a lot of Greeks, related or not. People in Greece would say, oh, when you get to Detroit, look up Bill. He'll give you a job. So they're running these places. Why? Because they love to work 24 hours a day? No. They're trying to survive. The guy second from the left is now, I'd call him second or third generation. He went to law school at the University of Michigan. He doesn't have to be there. He likes it there. He likes it there. So that's what he does. He's a lawyer, but he's not practicing in a law firm. He's running Kirby's Coney Island with about 23 spots. Love these guys. National Coney Island, the third big chain around Detroit. It's also around 22 spots. This is, I want to make sure I get this right. This is Jim and Tom Giftos, father and son. This is James over here. This is Tom. Leo's is pretty predominant on the west side of the Detroit metro area. National has kind of the east side. If you ask people from Grosse Pointe, what's your favorite Coney? A lot of them will say National Coney Island. But there are like 22 National Coney Islands. The thing that makes this chain different is they really have tricked it out. You see the neon, you go inside, it's neon on the inside, neon on the outside, it's shiny, it's got games for kids, they have a mascot, Mr. Pop, which is short for Papadopoulos, which is not their name, but they liked it. Their name is Giftos. I love this picture. This is James Giftos, who started the National Coney chain. He died, unfortunately, before the book came out. But I just thought that was a beautiful picture of a beautiful man, and you can get an idea about the inside of what a National Coney Island looks like. The National people didn't start in the Coney business, the Coney Island, all complete. They started more or less in the chili business, making chili for other people to put on Coneys. And they said, hey, let's open our own store. And they still make chili, but they're, who's this guy? Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's see, we had, this is another Stassinopoulos. This is George of George's Senate Coney Island. George came from Greece and he got a job on Michigan Avenue. But his job, first he started downtown at American Lafayette, then he moved up Michigan Avenue to the Senate Coney Island, which was near the old Senate Theater. That Coney Island is gone, and that theater is shuttered, but he keeps the name going, and he runs three or four Senate Coney Islands on the in the area around Taylor, sort of in Wayne County, but on the west side. We went, Catherine and I, the co-author, and I went to a place in Trenton called Mom's Family Restaurant, to meet the Trenton Historical Society and talk to them about Coney's. We didn't know it till we got there, but the owners of that restaurant are related to George. So you might attribute those restaurants also to the Karras family because they did some training for them. Now, this is something a little bit different. Everybody fights about American Lafayette, American Lafayette. American says, we're the oldest, 1917. This might actually be inside the oldest Coney Island in the Detroit area. This is in Highland Park, and it is only about three or four blocks away from that place where we saw all those workers crowded up for the $5 workday. Okay, this is Richard and Carol Harlan, and they claim, and they have kind of the best claim I've seen so far, they claim that their place opened up in 1921, which would make it older than what we found in the city directories for the downtown spots that still exist. So he says, I got the oldest one. He is a character. If you get a chance, go in there. It's a hard place to find. Highland Park, he's on, first of all, most people find things on the internet nowadays, right? That's how I got here. he's hard to find on the internet. The name of his place is called Red Hot's Coney Island. It's on Victor Street. A lot of people call it Victor's Coney Island. They think he's Victor. His mother, who's 80 and who works there, got an apron made up and she wears it, and it says Victor's Red Hots. So it's got a big identity problem. When you go up to the building, and this street is mostly gone. The buildings are gone or falling down. There's this and there's a bakery. But I recommend you go to this. When you go up to the building, it says Coney Island. It doesn't have the name on it at all. And he closes at 4. So no wonder he has a problem. But you go in there. We were talking about the book on TV, and we were asked, oh, there's a place that's not in the book. Have you been to, he called it Victor's Coney Island. Have you been to Victor's Coney Island? We said, no. He said, big mistake. You're missing something. You need to go there. 3 months later, Catherine works at the Free Press. We get our schedule together. He said, we're going to Victor's Red Hots, or whatever it's called. I haven't been there yet. I want to go with you. So we go in. He's working the grill. He sees me coming. He says, I've been waiting for you. And then he sees Catherine. He says, and you too. He said, I've been wondering when you'd come into this place. So he gives us the full explanation about how he makes his chili, not from powdered onion and powdered garlic, but from the real thing, from ground chuck that he has ground, and then he cooks it up. He wants it to sit overnight. He's not going to serve it that day. He's going to keep it refrigerated, let the flavors meld. He's giving us tests all the time. He says, how many you want? We said, 2. Standard order is 2 up. He said, okay, you want them with everything? We said, is there another way? Yeah, everything. So then they bring it over, they put it down, they say, you want a knife? I said, no, we're not using a knife. You want ketchup? No, you're not tricking us. So I say, hey, Richard, this hot dog looks kind of small. What kind of hot dogs are you getting? He says, those are Dearborn hot dogs, 10 to 1s. Usually a Coney Island will buy 8 to 1s, 8 hot dogs to the pound. He's buying 10 to 1s. I said, gee, usually people buy 8-to-1s. He said, not here. Here we give you 10-to-1s because this isn't about the hot dog, it's about my chili. Less hot dog, you get more chili. I said, oh, okay. He said, where do you put mustard on a Coney dog? I said, well, usually people put it right on the chili. He said, no, I put my mustard on the bun, and then I put the hot dog on, and then I put on the chili, and then the onions. Because I want the first bite your mouth takes to taste my chili, not some mustard. So he has this down to a science. Now, last week he took his first vacation in 15 years. They closed the place for 3 or 4 days. And I have to say he's totally redone his menu by adding sliders. So, totally new experience there. If you get a chance, go to Red Hot's Coney Island. They're not that hot. They're actually kind of sweet. And yes, the recipe is secret, like everybody's. This is Mark Mitchell. He runs a place. You see, he's kind of like Danny is at American. He's schmoozing with the customers. This is in Royal Oak, and it's usually GM's headquarters for the Dream Cruise. Mark Mitchell, he owns this with a friend. A personal story on this. This Coney Island is built where my wife owned a ballet studio. So he used to have like a little Coney Island next to the ballet studio. And the little girls would go in there and they would dance and they'd get hungry. They'd go over to his place, they'd eat French fries. He would complain about their cars. He'd call the cops on all the ballerinas, get these cars out of here. And eventually the studio moved. He bought the building the studio was in, tore it down, built a new building for himself, and turned his old building into a bigger parking lot. So I don't think he sells as many fries, but the dancer's gone. We like to go there, but it is a little sad for my wife. Oh. This guy. This guy is named Ed Zoll, and he's at Pete's Coney 2. Pete's Coney 2, that's what his shirt says. And what he's showing you there is a pizza. A pizza. A pizza is a piece of flatbread with chili and cut up hot dogs and onions and mustard on it. There are a few different kinds of variations on the Coney dog. There's the pizza, there are Coney pizzas. There was one named after Free Press columnist Bob Talbert that they used to sell at America's Pizza Cafe in the Fox Theater building downtown. Ed Zoll will also sell you a Coney omelet. You can make one at home if you like. And there are, we found at least three, maybe four different kinds of Coney tacos. But typically you have a base, like that might be corn chips or a tortilla or flatbread. Those would be the main. Well, there's also the hard shell Coney taco. That's another thing. And on top of that, you get chili, hot dogs, onions. You might leave off the mustard because next you're going to get lettuce, tomatoes, and shredded cheese. It's a mess. But people are always pushing the Coney envelope, and Ed is one. Now, Ed runs Peach 2. The place with the curved tables that you saw earlier, the curved counters, that's Pete's. Just Pete's. They don't call themselves Pete's 1. And Pete's and Peach 2 are kind of like in a war with each other. They kind of, they're not that close together, so it's not a big problem, but we don't, we put them in different parts of the book. Okay, let's just say that. Once upon a time, Pontiac had three Coney Islands on the same corner. And they came through and redeveloped that corner and made Pontiac all nice like it is now. And those places scattered. One was Pete's, one was Walt's, which we'll see right here. And one was, Catherine's calling it Angels. I don't know if it was Angels or on Hell, but that one is gone. This is what Walt's became. This is not Walt. Don't they look alike? Oops. Don't they look kind of similar? Similar muscular build, I think. Oops, I keep going the wrong direction. I think they look alike. This guy bought this Coney Island. He's not Walt, just like the guy in Pete's was not Pete's. This is Todd Irish. And every square inch of this place, this is on M59 out in Waterford Township. That's where it went to when it left Pontiac. Every square inch of this place is decorated. Ceiling, wall, all over. Irish guesstimates that he has eaten 17,000 Coney dogs. Over a span of time. I don't, you want fries with that? this guy on the end, this is the Coney man. And this is his daughter, and this is his son, and this is one of his employees. They work in Detroit's New Center area. I don't prefer my dogs to be in boxes. And he has shown, they are showing us different kinds of dogs they do. That looks like a Coney dog, and that looks very much like a Chicago dog. More about those in a minute. This Chicago dog appears to have, if it's legit, it'll have a all beef Vienna hot dog in it. It looks like he's got lettuce. I see the pickle. I see some bright green relish. There should be some sport peppers, some diced tomato, and a little bit of celery salt on there, you know, just for the right flavor. This guy, the Coney man, is Mike Demergian, and that's Mikey Jr. next to him. Mike, who has that Coney owner's build, Mike has, he's on a low-salt diet. So he started making different kinds of Coney so people like him could enjoy them. So he's got some, he's also got a turkey dog there, if you want to go a little bit that way. I did see a tofu dog. I don't recommend that. Once it was in Ferndale, go figure, at the Ohm Cafe. I can't find it anymore. I keep looking. It struck me when we were doing the book that a lot of the people we were talking to.
I think they call those not dogs, those tofu.
The tofu, a not dog. It's a not dog, yeah. And you can get them in California if you must have one. I mean, why don't you just get a salad? Leo of Leo's Coney Island. He runs the Coney Island near my house. Of the 42 that's associated with them, he runs the one near my house. And you see him there, and he's just like punching that cash register, you know, as people pay their bills. He says, we sell more salads here in Bloomfield Township, which is where I live, than hot dogs. Everybody's watching their weight. He doesn't care. The cash register still rings. This is Lisa Creech. And while we were working on the book, I said, geez, you know, seems to me like, what about, do women run these places? Mostly it's men, but as we go through here, you know, you saw Richard's wife, Carol, is in there working side by side with him. Lisa is the owner of Jackson Coney Island. It was given to her over her protest by her father. He said, well, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm giving you the family business. Here, let me hang it around your neck. And she has come to appreciate that she and that Jackson Coney Island have an important place in Jackson history, and I think she likes it now. But she's in there working all the time. She's the boss. She is the only one who knows the recipe for the chili sauce there. I don't know if it's written down, but I know that she adds the ingredients when no one is around. They have to leave. So I hope she has it written down. The nice thing about Jackson is that Jackson Coney Island is on one end of the block, and on the other end of the block is Virginia Coney Island. And Virginia Coney Island, let's see, here's a little picture that I didn't take this picture. We used 12 photographers on the book. They belong to a group that meets on Flickr called Exposure Detroit. And I approached them, I said, would you guys like to shoot a book? And it's like asking a fraternity to do something for you. It's a terrible mess. But they did great work. About half the pictures are mine and half are theirs. This is the other end of the block, Virginia Coney Island. They do a nice job. This couple, Eli, he's Eli, and she is Jan. Jan and Eli were a nice retired couple when the Virginia Coney Island announced it was going to close because the owners were done. They're finished. And they said, well, we're sitting around doing nothing. We love the Virginia Coney Island. They can't close that. So they came out of retirement to run a Coney Island. What a great idea. So if you go to Jackson, it's one of those places where I would have a Coney at each end of the block. Seriously. Have your own Coney test. See which one you like better. Jackson is a very... Is anybody from Jackson? Okay. Okay. You brought it up. Here's my problem with Jackson. There was, for many, many years, a pretty famous place in Jackson called Todorov's Coney Island. And through... now, Todorov will make you understand, we are not Greek, we're Macedonian. That's a whole fight you can get into. Like, where are all the Macedonians? You can get into a fight with the Macedonians. The Greeks say, well, they're gone. They're Greek. Macedonians say, no, we're not. We're still mad about it, too. So the Todorovs, who were Macedonian, started doing conies at some point. And they do a real nice, you can still get, I had some recently, you can still get Todorov's coney sauce. Jackson style conies are more like the Flint style, which is a little bit drier than the Detroit style. And not these people, not Lisa, but the Boosters and one particular columnist named Brad Florey have lost their minds. And they have decided that, what's this Flint style stuff? Flint is doing Jackson style. Furthermore, Todorov invented the Coney Island hot dog. And if you go to Wikipedia, the Wikipedia entry will tell you that the Coney Island hot dog was invented by Todorov in Jackson in 1914. There's no proof to this. We asked Brad about this, and his answer was, just because you can't prove something doesn't make it false. And I thought, that's troubling coming from a journalist. We went to the city directory. There was no Todorov's anything in 1914, 15, 16. Todorov was one of the owners of a restaurant around 1920, a long time ago. He went into a restaurant business with other people. It wasn't called a Coney Island. It could be that he did invent a Coney Island hot dog at a restaurant called something else back in 1914, and later on everybody copied his idea. I mean, we're going to have to believe that all the places that seem to trace their ancestry back to the teens all over the United States or the eastern half of the United States, somehow they all heard from Todorov and said, hey, we should do that too. Let's get one up right away. I don't know how things traveled in 1914, but I would want to see some proof. The latest I heard is that Jackson is really hoping to have a Coney Centennial in 2014, and if they do, I plan to go, but I still want to see the proof. But the Todorov chili is good. You can still get it, but the Todorov restaurants are there. The last owner kind of had some legal problems and kind of seemed like it kind of flipped out a little bit. And so they're still there, but they're not in business. So Jackson is a very important part of Coney history. Why did we call it Coney Detroit? You know, I went to the publisher, I said, why don't we call it instead, let's call it Coney Nation. I said, no. Those are the ingredients. The chili sauce is the place where you can really improvise. Let's look at how people put things together. Here's American Coney Island. How do we know that? We see the blue line on the paper hat that's on the American style hat. And you see him spooning the chili onto the hot dogs. Watch the technique, on the plate with a wooden spoon. Here's another way to do it. Now this is a big order. This is what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, oh, I think I just made myself hungry. Here's 7. So we've got them all lined up in a little pan. And we are spooning them on with what looks like a teaspoon. The Kirby's guys did let me make conies. We had an opening at Gleaner's. All the author royalties and photographer royalties from the book go to the Gleaner's Food Bank. And we had a big opening at Gleaner's. People brought $1,000 and all this canned goods for Gleaner's and Kirby's and American and, National donated conies to people who came. And so they said, why don't you make some conies? So I put on the apron and I made some conies. He said, very good, Joe. That only took you 20 minutes to make that coney. Like, how much should I do? Oh, I need a little more. And you know, they've got it down just once and done. And like so, here's another way to do your conies. This guy, now this is an owner here. I should bring his name in. This is Steve Adams. Oh, this is a great Coney Island. It's called Coney Island Lunch in Kalamazoo. They claim to go back to 1915. So I guess Todorov drove over to Kalamazoo and said, here, I invented this. Why don't you make some of these? So they make a great Coney dog in Kalamazoo at Coney Island Lunch. That's one of the owners. And you see he's got a device here that looks like a tray with a right angle on the end. And they use these a lot. And then they make the chili and grill the dogs right in the window the way I like it. Yes. Very important. Don't boil the dogs or steam them. We like them on a grill, a flat grill. And I like it if it's in the window. And you can kind of watch. It gets me in off the street. But yeah, it shouldn't be boiled. It's just on a hot grill, and you'll watch them rolling those. And you know, a good Coney place has them ready to go. If you go to What Up Dog, which I like to do, you got to wait because they're not. And they're not a Coney place, they're a hot dog place. Another way to do it, use the wooden spoon. Now, back to the mustard. We are in Port Huron. This is Mama Vicky's in actually Fort Gratiot, north of Port Huron. And they are making two conies there. This place is run by the Pozios family. Mama Vicky has passed away, but they renamed the restaurants after Mama Vicky. They also claim to be from 1915. So Todorov must have been going all over Michigan telling people about this Coney dog he invented, or everybody's a liar except him. But I'll let other people work that out. In Port Huron, you see one completed in the background. Notice, no mustard, right? Incorrect. The mustard is under the chili. Because they do the same thing that Richard Harlan does. They want you to taste something other than mustard with your first bite. I went into one and they said, we serve our Coney dogs over the top. I said, what do you mean over the top? They said, we put the chili on top of everything. Now those are different, but these down here, you see onions in there and there's mustard in there and the chili goes right on the top. And I said, can I have one the normal way? And they said, no. I'd like that. You got to stand for something nowadays. There's Mama Vicky's, 3 locations in Port Huron. The downtown location is from 1915, they say. Yes, one of the photographers we used has, you know how some photographers take everything, I see Carl going like this, lining it up. Fortunately, only one of the photographers does this. Brett Lawrence does this. But this is one of the great things about having a dozen photographers. This is Chris and Bill Posios. Chris is the father. He has two or three sons, and they run the three different corners. One is right along 94. I don't know if you go over that way. It's right along 94 by one of the exits there. I've eaten it all three. They're all three great. We spared no expense in doing this. I kept this. We didn't put this picture in the book, but I like it because it came out really red. There's something wrong with that picture, but I like it. That's Chris. I put this place in because it's just kind of cool. I didn't know where to put it, but I want this. This is from the downriver Coney Island, and they decorate for every season. It takes a long time. You know, they'll decorate. This was for, what is this? It looks like Halloween. They'll decorate for Christmas. They'll decorate for Easter. The thing I like around downriver Coney Island the most is the sign. We saw a lot of great signs. It says downriver up here. It says Coney Island down there. And I love this hot dog that's paddling down the Detroit River. And I just think that's cool. I saw one place had a sign, Atlantic Coney Island in Macomb County. And their sign is Statue of Liberty here, Eiffel Tower there, the ocean in between, a big island in the middle of the ocean with a Coney dog on it. I figured that must be Coney Island. That must be it. Okay. Island Coney, that seems backwards. This is on Gros Isle. Huh. There's a couple of the girls who work there. I went into Tina's Coney Island because I was going after places named after people. They're all named after guys except Tina's. I went in. Tina was off because her son, this man right here, his wife had just had a baby overnight, and Grandma went to see the baby, so Tina was off that day. I went to high school with this guy, Scott Lucas, and he runs Hippo's Hot Dogs, which is a Detroit area restaurant that serves the Chicago dog. You see it up there with the tomatoes and the pickle and the relish and everything in it. What's this guy doing at a Coney Island? He's a painter. He's in Eastern Market at Zeph's Coney Island. There are three of them. They're not all spelled the same way because there was a fight. They're named after a guy named Joe Zeph. And somebody stole their name, so they dropped an F. Quickly, through the supplier industry, most hot dogs in the Detroit area come from Dearborn sausage. Winter sausage does not sell as it's not as big a part of its business. These guys used to supply Lafayette. Last year, Lafayette switched to Dearborn. So Lafayette and American are using the same supplier. Winter sausage is pretty good. This is run by a woman who's about 75 now, took the business over from her dad. Huge in Michigan. This is the Flint one. Kogel's. We got to tour the factory. We got to see it from beginning to end. I won't show you the beginning. I'll just show you the end. It's more appetizing. But the beginning is back behind the steam. Here's the Kogel's family. Another family story, just like the Karos's. I put this up here. That's a Flint-style topping. See, it's drier. And Kogel's gets together with Abbott's Meats. Abbott's makes a lot of sauce. Abbott's makes Flint-style sauce and Detroit sauce. And there's a couple of Flint dogs at Angelo's in Flint. This is the guy who runs Angelo's Coney Island. I think he'd like to sell it. I think he'd really like to be out of there. Now, does this say manufacturing in Detroit? Yeah. What does this factory make? Buns. This is a bun factory. I was so mad at the photographer because every picture he brought back was a picture of them making hamburger buns. I said, dude, aren't you paying attention to what you're taking pictures? So I had to go through all his pictures. I wound up being the photo editor for the book. First time I ever did that, but it was a lot of fun. I picked this one because, you see, these are hamburger buns going by. See, not cool. Hamburger bun trays down there. There's the hot dog ones. I picked this one because it had the hot dog trays in it and because it just looks so like this is industrial Detroit. You know, can you see the two people in the picture? Yeah. So it's going into this big, long conveyor oven. Those are hamburger buns going in, I'm sure. One guy over there, and it looks like a lady over here, running this huge oven. This is how they like to do it now. Lots of machinery, no people. And lots of buns. They supply, there he is. They supply buns to a lot of the people. They call these Coney Island steamers because they'll stand up to that. A lot of the bakers are Macedonian. And I think we're going to go right into real quick. Look, how are we on time? Awful?
Oh, we're awful.
We're out of time? Okay.
Yeah, I think you should take questions, Joe.
I'll take questions. I'll raise your hand if you have a question. I'll show you the pretty pictures. Bonnie. What is the key?
Beef heart
is the key to a Flint style Coney. It's part of, yeah. If you go down to Detroit, you'll get chili sauce made with ground chuck. Flint and Jackson will use ground beef hearts, in case you wanted to know that little ingredient. The city manager in Mason told me that he has the Todorov recipe at his house. I said, well, maybe it's like the Todorov recipe. How do you know it is the recipe? He said, my wife used to babysit for the Todorovs. These are an Albanian couple. They run this place, Joe's Top Dog, Coney Island. I don't know why I like it so much. She serves everything with a side of sash, she says. When I was talking to them, she said they added nothing to the chili sauce they bought. He said they do add. She said, when do you add? He says, who comes to work first? She says, you do. He says, what do you think I'm doing over here? So they're keeping secrets in the family. A lot of the Coney owners now are Albanian, and proudly so. This guy got out of Fraser High School in 2005. His name is Danny. And at age 19, he took over International Coney Island and renamed it as Fraser Coney Island. The two-headed eagle is a sure sign that you're in an Albanian place. Someplace, there's a place in Detroit called Double Eagle. There's a place in Ypsilanti called Double Eagle. They call it the Deagle. These are run by Albanians. It's not unusual to see the double eagle from the Albanian flag in some of their places. Another question? Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what people love about Lafayette. They don't write anything down. Guy comes over, says, you all done? You say, yeah. I said, okay, $9. Okay. Yeah, maybe it was $8 yesterday. But that's why you're there. You're there to have people, they don't yell at you too much. Like Blimpie's Burgers in Ann Arbor, they'll yell at you if you like slow down the line. They don't yell at you, they're just yelling. That's how they talk. They're just yelling. And people like that. And it's not too clean. You know, people like it. A place that's not too clean because it ruins the flavor. Yes?
I just wonder if the Saturday Night Live guy, she's been in Chicago, in Detroit.
It's Chicago. It's the Billy Goat Tavern. Yeah, I was there a couple of years ago with a friend, an ignorant friend. And we were going through the line, and when you go through that line, he looks at you and he tells you what you get. He looked at me and said, triple. I said, no, double. He said, triple. I said, no, double. He said, you need a triple. I said, double. So I got a double. She comes along, she's skinny, he says, single. She says, you know what would be really good here would be fries. He said, you want me to call a cop? Troublemaker. That's the Billy Goat Cavern, an old Chicago Tribune hangout, kind of under the street there on that lower level.
Yeah,
Dorothy? Here's what we think happened. There was a huge Greek immigration in the like 19 teens and 20s. Where do immigrants come from? I mean, where do they land when they get there? They get to Ellis Island. What's near Ellis Island? Coney Island. What are people eating there? A different kind of hot dog, but they're eating hot dogs. So they come here. Hey, I talk funny. Nobody can even say my name. It's really long. I guess if I want a job, I'm going to have to start something. The Karros family started with a popcorn wagon. That became a hat cleaning business, that became a Coney Island place. We think what they did is they improvised and they made this up. Mustard is not a big deal in Greece, but this sauce is similar to the sauce you'll get on a Skyline Chili in Cincinnati, also started by Greeks. Now they're putting it on spaghetti. They also have hot dogs. Cincinnati is the number one city for hot dog consumption, by the way. I'm kind of mad about that. But I think this was a Greek sauce put on American-style hot dogs, and then the onions and the mustard came. So it was kind of invented here. I think they saw the name and they said, Coney Island, that's what could be more American. And what do they eat? They eat hot dogs. Well, let's get some hot dogs and fix them up Greek style and give them an American name. A lot of these places, this place, Zorba's, run by Albanians. Zorba's, that's not Albanian. This place, run by Arabs, I went in there, they have no conies on the menu. I said, this is a coney? You have no conies on the menu. What do you serve here? They said, we serve chicken. But if we want to have a restaurant in Detroit, we better put coney in the name. This is called El Rayan, and they do have a chili dog there. This is a Coney Island run by Muslims. What do Muslims eat at a Coney Island? They eat halal hot dogs, which is an all-beef hot dog, and the beef is butchered in a halal way. So this is Mike in Eastern Market. Parthenon, Coney Island. Where's the Parthenon? It's in Athens. He's from Lebanon. He owns three Parthenon Coney Islands. He knows you have to have a Greek name if you want to sell some conies here. Although when they started American and Lafayette, they didn't have Greek names. That's just the way it happened. Other questions?
No, it was the same question.
The same question?
Other questions? Well, let me ask the logical question, which is that you've said it to a degree, are there kind of conflicts that get played out in terms of inner ethnic?
Oh, there are a little bit. This is a really cool place on Lower Gratiot near Detroit. I like it because it only has like four tables, and by the kitchen is a sign that says, thou shalt not kill. It's kind of like mom's place, you know. It's not out in the open, but the Greeks and the Macedonians do not like each other, and the Greeks are very insulting toward the Albanians who've moved in. They say, it's stereotyping, they'll say, oh, their restaurants aren't as clean as ours, the food is not as good, they try to go cheap. And I would imagine that now people are probably saying that about Arabs who are opening Coney Islands too. It's the same old story. The old Onassis Coney Island chain, Onassis, what's that? That's a Greek name. That was almost all Albanian. And it went out of business and people said, yeah, the Albanians wouldn't pay their bills. Who knows? Yes? I don't know. I don't know. That's it.
It
would be cultural, might be kind of too seasonal here for them. It could be like they didn't run it correctly. Leo seems to be doing well. It's busy whenever I go there, and it's expanded its hours. It has a good location. It's interesting. They opened up, I happen to have counted this off, 88 steps from What Up Dog. So if you go over there, you say, well, I can get a hot dog one place or the other, you know. So it could be location management. I think when we were doing the book, Jackson, Flint, Port Huron, Detroit, great, Battle Creek, Kalamazoo, we thought these are great cities for Coney Islands. I checked it out. I said, I don't think Lansing is really a Coney town. That was my opinion.
There was a skyline.
Oh, was there? Yeah. Well, now with the Leos and What Up Dog, it's a better Coney town. But there's room for more. There's room for more. Well, I hope I made you hungry.
Well, let us give Joe a round of applause.
I have to just say, this is Detroit Motor City Coney Island. It is run by Manny Sanchez in Las Vegas, a transplanted Detroiter who missed his Coney so much. He's in the book. He's pretty cool.
Let me just,